Morning. Good morning, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning to receive any of your questions or your comments. In your bulletin, there's all sorts of announcements. You can take a look through those. And a few additional announcements this morning. You will not want to miss next Sunday. The GPC choir with some additional guest musicians will be performing a cantata, and it will be a wonderful worship experience. So that'll be next Sunday. A lot going on next weekend. In fact, if you haven't had a chance to look at the kiosk, you'll see there are still some opportunities to sign up to bring food or help prepare food for St. Joseph's, so check that out as well. And then also, due to the weather, the Guatemala Partners meeting was rescheduled from this past Wednesday. They will be meeting this Wednesday at 7:30. If you're wanting to know more about our mission partnership in Guatemala, it's a great meeting to come check that out and learn more. Final announcement this morning is that, yes, we are having a congregational meeting following worship. Normally, I give you all time to go grab coffee, meander back. That's not the case this morning. This morning, I would ask that during the postlude, if you are wanting to stay for the congregational meeting, to just remain in your seats. If you are a parent that needs to grab a child and take them to junior choir, please do so. But I'd like to get the meeting started quickly because it's really, really short. So you'll have plenty of time for coffee and fellowship following that meeting. I promise, 10 minutes or less, short meeting. So that'll be following worship. And we also have a few other announcements. Katie.
Youth group next week, we're going to have junior highs do caroling and handing out cookies. So dress very warmly, warm up your voice, meet here at 6 and we'll be done at 8. Senior highs will be watching a Christmas movie and enjoying some snacks together, and that's going to go from 6 to 9, so we have time to socialize and talk and actually see the whole movie. Also, I put on Facebook that we're not having a junior high Sunday school today, but if you read that, that is no longer true. Since the meeting's going to be short, they'll just meet right afterwards for Sunday school.
Any other announcements this morning? Then let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and if you have a voice, prepare that as well to worship God.
Please stand as you are able to join in the call of worship. Now is the time for listening and waiting for new life, the time of pregnant expectation of love to be born. Let us come before God with open hearts. May our souls magnify God's name, and may our spirits rejoice in God our Savior.
Let us pray together. We confess we are not the people you hope us to be, Advent God. The very ones you favor, we too often ignore or ridicule. The ones you knock off their pedestals, we admire and emulate. We are so focused on having more and more, we risk being sent away empty. Forgive us, mighty God, and hear our hearts crying out for the love you so freely give. The good news of Advent is God hears our hearts cry out and responds with love. Amen.
Thank you.
Please join me in the liturgy, the responsive liturgy for the lighting of the Advent candle. When the world waits for salvation and fear,
love cries out, do not be afraid.
When divisions keep us apart in anger,
love pulls us together and unites us as one family of God's children.
When our lives are hard and we have many things to do,
love strengthens us to reach out and care for each other.
In this third week of Advent, we light the candle for love. Let everything that we do be done in love, and let us celebrate today the great love that sent Jesus Christ to be born on earth. Amen.
The children to come forward and join me in the front. Well, today we've got a special visitor who's coming to talk to us. And she'll be here soon, so everybody needs to listen really hard for her crying out, okay? Can you all listen hard?
Don't be afraid! Don't be afraid! Don't be afraid! Hello, everyone. My name is Mary, and today I am so happy. I live in the town of Nazareth, where people are afraid of the Roman soldiers and afraid of each other. I used to be afraid, too, until something wonderful happened. I was all alone one day when I saw a beautiful angel named Gabriel. He told me, "Don't be afraid. God loves you." He said that God chose me to have a special baby that was going to change the entire world. The angel told me to name him Jesus. I was so happy to be a part of God's plan for the world. But I was worried about what my family would say because I'm so young and not married yet. I went to my fiancé, Joseph, and told him that I was going to have a baby from God. Guess what Joseph said? He told me, "Don't be afraid. I love you. We can raise baby Jesus together." I'm so glad that Joseph loves me and my baby. Next, I went to my cousin Elizabeth and told her about my news. Guess what Elizabeth said? She told me, "Don't be afraid. I love you. I'll help you take care of the baby when he comes. I'm so glad I have a family who loves me." No matter what happens in our lives, we don't need to be afraid. God loves us. God is sending Jesus, my baby, to tell everybody how much we are loved. Soon, Jesus will be here to teach us all about love. Are you ready? Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus. We love Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys.
First reading of the word today comes from the first chapter of Luke, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
The second reading continues in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. Listen now for the word of God. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she greeted the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me? The mother of my Lord comes to me. For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. It's the word of God.
This is a story that we love to hear. The angel's words to Mary and Mary's words to the world. They mean that we are getting closer to hearing the sounds from the manger in Bethlehem. The cries of God's love being born in the world. But before we arrive in Bethlehem, our story starts this morning in Galilee, a small town named Nazareth, with a young girl named Mary. Someone told me this week that one of the most memorable things that they had ever heard in a sermon about Mary was her age. She was probably about 14 when all of these things happened. The angelic announcement, the most assuredly unplanned pregnancy, and being asked to participate in God's fulfillment of promised love for this world. But according to some scholars, she may have even been younger, perhaps too old even to participate in our confirmation class. But Mary wasn't in all of this for the extra points on an amazing faith journey of confirmation or for any kind of recognition, really. Despite her elevation in many faith traditions throughout history, for her to have an almost supernatural status. For those of us who are familiar with the Roman Catholic tradition, Mary is understood to be a co-redeemer with Christ, whose job description is to act as a go-between between the sinners here on earth and God in heaven. And the names of some of the Catholic churches in our area literally point to her importance. Our Lady Queen of Peace, Our Lady of Victory, and the Immaculate Conception, of course, to go along with the decree that she was declared absolutely free from personal sin before her birth and to this day. For a long time, Protestants went a bit too far in the other direction. So much so that we even get a little uncomfortable hearing about Mary, talking about her in any sort of theological way outside of her physical role as the mother of Jesus. But over the past few decades, we've heard more voices naming the ways in which Mary sings God's song of salvation through these texts. And we don't have to put her up on a pedestal to begin to explore her importance and place in this story. All we need to do is listen for the ways that God uses Mary's voice to cry out in the world today. So in the Gospel of Luke, where we normally don't have the opportunity to hear the whole story of Mary. Usually it's broken up over a couple of Sundays, even over the span of a few years. But this morning we took the opportunity to hear the whole story, to hear about how Luke talks about Mary. And sometimes we get that picture in our heads. Well, maybe you get the picture of Mary standing in a bathtub on someone's front lawn, but for me, it's inevitable, it's all right. For me, when I think of Mary, when I hear Mary's voice, what I first and foremost imagine in my head are all the Christmas carols that sing about Mary as meek and mild. But this is hardly how the gospel writer describes her. In fact, Catholic theologian Elizabeth Johnson goes so far to say that Mary is a prophet. She is a prophet in the tradition of Isaiah and Amos and Moses. That the gospel writer intentionally portrays Mary as the Miriam of Nazareth. Miriam, Moses' sister from the Old Testament. Here we have this Jewish woman that is, as a descendant of the people of Israel, who has inherited the faith in one living God that stems from Abraham and Sarah. A God who, as in the days of Moses and the first Miriam, hears the cries of the poor and frees the enslaved, so that they are able to enter into a new covenant of love with God. And Johnson goes on to say that Luke describes Mary as one who, like the first Miriam, is desperately poor, living under the brutal regime of a foreign oppressor. And in Mary's time, it was the Roman emperor rather than the Egyptian pharaoh, like it was for Miriam. The biblical connections, when we take the time to begin to explore them even a little bit, are all over the place. They're there for us to see. But we do still struggle, given what we believe our assumptions are of who Mary should be and what she means for us in our faith. And we struggle to think of Mary as a prophet. And perhaps it's not the lack of or presence there of biblical connections. Maybe it's because we struggle with the understanding of what a prophet means to us. So, as I think Mary and think meek and mild, if I say prophet, you might think someone who foresees the future, right? Who can predict. And we might be tempted to live into that definition, saying yes, because her song sings of what God will do through Jesus. It'd be helpful, and so maybe later this afternoon, you'll go back to your Bible and look at the way in which the English tenses of the verbs are translated. It's not about what God will do. It's about what God has already done. Mary, in her role as prophet, does not guess what's next. She doesn't spend time talking about the child in her womb and who he will be and what he will do. The prophet Mary does not set her eyes on the future. But what a prophet does is stands firmly in the present. And in all the blessedness and mire of the world, of being an unpregnant young peasant woman, she says, here, God's love is present here. And Mary goes on to give voice to the ways in which God's love is present in her own life, calling herself blessed. And then the way in which she names the ways in which that God is present for all those, for all the others in the world. God has given mercy. God has shown strength. God has scattered the proud and brought down the powerful. God has lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry and sent the rich away empty. God has helped God's people. What Mary is doing here in this text as her role as a prophet, she hears God saying, "My love is here. It is here now." And in turn, Mary gives voice to God's promises in a new way. And her heart cries out, naming the way God comes in a helpless, vulnerable child still growing inside of her. And this child will not overwhelm the world with divine power and might, but will continue to touch human hearts with love, to redeem the world through the lives of individuals who have been touched by that love, to redeem and save our souls, not by delivering us from the sinful world, but to transform us all of our voices, into voices of love. And Jesus will do this by showing us what that love looks like. It looks like a love that God has been showing to the world, showing us, giving voice to it in a brand new way. So Mary calls us together to be God's people who pour the love of God back out into the world that the love that we have experienced through God and through Jesus, to create a mighty force for justice and peace and kindness. A people who, because we know God's love, we know it to be in the here and now, can't help but showing that love. To be a people who live that love out in the world here and now. This Advent here at GPC, we've been listening for all the ways the hearts of God's people cry out. The first Sunday, literally all of the people, all of our hearts in the world crying out. Then we heard the voice of John the Baptist last Sunday. This morning, we've heard the voice of Mary. And next week, we return again to the joyful sounds of all of God's people crying out in song. And friends, we are encouraged, whether we are here in this place or out in the world, to do the same. Every Sunday morning as I drive in to church, I begin my morning by listening to an NPR radio show called On Being, one of my favorites. I catch about 10 to 15 minutes of it and then listen to the podcast later. The host, Krista Tippett, she shares stories about God's love in the world. And it wasn't until I had read her book that I learned about how she was this bright political journalist stationed in Berlin in 1980 and was completely caught up in the drama and intrigue of international politics and assumed all the problems of the world had these geopolitical solutions. But she found herself, when she was there, most intrigued with her friends in East Germany who had somehow found a way to live lives of joy and meaning and happiness, even in a repressive society. And she changed her mind that there is more to changing the world than politics. And so she quit her job and enrolled in Yale Divinity School. And she's been thinking and pondering about the ways people share their experience of love in the world ever since. One of the stories she shares in her book is about when she was in seminary and she did a stint as a chaplain in an Alzheimer's dementia ward of a local hospital. And there she visited patients. And she said that they would ask me my name, but never remember it. They weren't interested in my background or my education, the places that I'd been or the titles I held or my credentials. They would only know whether I was gentle and kind, a good listener.
And she realized that there was nothing tangible she could ever do for them or give them. All I could do was come and love them as they were. And this was my greatest gift. But they gave me far more. When all is said and done, Tippett wrote, none of us will be measured by how much we have accomplished, but on how well we love. Tippett, in many ways, too, is a prophet. Like Mary, listening for and giving voice to those who are demonstrating God's love in this world. Another voice that I heard this week came from a 90-year-old man in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Arnold Abbott lost his wife 23 years ago. He talks about Maureen and his face glows. How she was the best human being I've ever encountered in my whole life. And she had died. And when she did, working through his grief, he found himself in a place where there was nothing more that he wanted to do was to continue the work that they had done together. And so he created an interfaith organization called Love Thy Neighbor, committed to helping the homeless. And it started with just him and his church. And one of the programs that they began was feeding the homeless a free meal each week on the beach. But then, not that long ago, a city ordinance went into place banning feeding the homeless in public spaces. But Arnold and his team took their van full of food, and Arnold, barely able to stand on his 2 feet, is handing out these meals with the police standing by. They're just waiting for the meals to be distributed. And they issued Arnold his second citation. And Arnold was convinced, though the police felt guilty about what they were doing. After all, they didn't make the law. He talked about the mayor and the city officials who felt that feeding the people on the streets created cycles of dependency. But hearing Arnold's story and being able to watch him feed the hungry out of this love that he experienced through his wife of so many years, I thought, wow, Arnold is another prophet. Both Arnold and Krista, in very different ways, experienced God's love. They knew about that love from how they felt it through other people, and they wanted to find a way to share that love with the world. So when I think of how Luke portrayed Mary as a prophet in the divine story of God's revelation of love in the world, I don't think that she set out to be a prophet. She was just listening. She was listening for God's love in the world. And she said yes to making sure that that love would have a voice. And we are invited to do the same. So in these last few days of Advent, and yes, I said days, not weeks, it's coming. First, listen for how God's heart cries out through the people of this world, who God's love cannot, but with that love cannot help but then live out their lives loving others. So listen. Listen for how God's love cries out in those who are hungry, those who are poor. Listen for how God's heart cries out in a love born in a little town, in a stable behind a crowded inn. Listen for the sounds of the manger. For in a few short days we'll hear the animals, the shepherds, and heavenly hosts sing. Friends, love is coming. Love is here. Can you hear it? Amen.
We now come to a time today to come together and share the joys in our lives and the concerns and fears as well. Who has something that they would like to share today?
Hi, Keith Morgan. I would like to ask for prayers for my friend Al Schroff, who 2 years ago had lost his job. He's a PhD chemist working for Johnson, and now he finds himself jobless again.
Prayers for him.
Sally Christensen. Last Tuesday, Jim and Sue Poole and I delivered about 87 gift bags to Cameron Community Ministries for their upcoming holiday events and Christmas festivals and things. So I just wanted to commend everyone and say thank you.
Thank you. Amen.
We also have the prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of joy for Elf on the Shelf adventures. And for pets and loose teeth and gingerbread boys. Prayers of joy for anniversaries and birthdays, for going to Florida, for Christmas, going to see Cinderella, and also prayers, this is good, for sore throats. Amen. I'll second that one today.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, your servant Mary was before you, and afraid offered a choice. In her humility, in her confidence and her great love, she said yes, brought your son into the world. God, we ask today for enough bravery to be like Mary, to say yes to your questions and your offers. When faced with a moment that we can reach out and show love to others, God, help us to move and to stretch. Help us to bring your love into the world. And let us be bearers of your peace. God, we give you thanks for the wonderful gifts that you have given us. And we ask that you give us the wisdom to use those blessings to help your people. We especially lift up those who do not have shelter from the snow. We lift up those who struggle to sweep their walk and worry about the shoveling that will come ahead. And those who are praying and hoping that they can pay their heat bill and care for their families. God, give them strength. Help them to find the resources they need, and help us to care for those in our midst who need just a little bit more. God, we ask all of these things, confident in the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Let us continue our time of worship by celebrating and offering back to God a portion of the gifts that we have been entrusted with. Let us worship God.
the season of Advent, as our hearts cry out for love, they also cry out for peace and joy. And we pray that you can use this offering to spread the peace and joy and the love that our hearts cry out for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Reminder that if you are staying for the congregational meeting, to please stay and enjoy the postlude. We will meet quick, but we will bless our way as we go, whether we are staying or going in a few minutes. That love is coming. God's love is coming to fill our hearts here and now. So go with the love of God in your heart, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit be with us on our way. Alleluia. Amen.